parak test is not at all an easy parak. I spent a lot of time trying to just hop the basic yesod of it. I think I have it. Lefi anias daiti, I think I have the basic idea. Obviously, with the Baal Tanya, there's endlessly deep layers, but I think we can at least get the main point. If you remember, in parak test, we started to discuss tshuva ilah. As opposed to tshuva tata, which is symbolized by the latter hay of Hashem's name, Yod Hay Vav Hay, the final hay of Hashem's name. And our Tshuva Tata is the reattachment of that hay to those higher letters, so to speak, to reconnect ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tshuva Ilah, he described at the end of Paraches, is absolute yichud and dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you remember the phrase that he used, "Lashuvat Hashem, Aravaya Baruch Hu Mamish Uledavka Bo Yisbarach BeYichud Nifla." That was the term that he used in Paraches, to attach ourselves very, very, very deeply to Hashem. So much so that it's not merely the connection of Yaakov Chevel Nachalaso. It's not like that rope that's attaching us, so to speak, like a heavenly umbilical cord back to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the sky. It's much deeper than that. It's not like the breath of life that Hashem has put into us, right? Which is an expression of His innermost desire. It's even deeper than that. It's going back to what? How did we describe it? It's going back to the moment before the breath even emerged. That's tshuva ilah. That's the yichud nifla, the complete attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not the breath as it's emerging, not the breath as it emerges from the lips, not the vayipach ba'pav nishmas chayim, the breath of life and that spark of God inside of us, but mamish to put yourself, bittul, ayin, self-negation, to completely be reabsorbed within HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yichud nifla. No separation whatsoever. We described, and this is how we ended the perek, that Torah is the greatest way that we achieve that. What did we say the difference between Torah and mitzvos? How do we describe the distinction between Torah and mitzvos? So what we said last time, we explained that when a person does a mitzvah, for a mitzvah to take place, there has to be a tzivoy, there has to be a command, but there has to be someone who is mitzaveh, there's someone who's commanding, and there's someone who's being commanded. Right? There's the one who's mitzuvah, and the one who's being mitzaveh. There's two entities, so to speak. There's Hashem, God, who's commanding you. You might be deeply connected to Him. You might see your life as strongly attached to Him, but there's still I and you. Right? There's still I and you. There's still two domains. What about Torah? For mitzvahs to take place, we explain a mitzvah needs a world. A mitzvah needs a person. A mitzvah needs a lulav. Torah, Chazal tell us, was what? Kadma la'olam. Torah, we know, preceded the world. Which means Torah is not dependent upon a person. Torah is not dependent upon a world. Which means when we learn Torah, we have the ability to what? To negate ourselves through the Limud Torah to the point that there's no independent me. To go back to that place of complete bittul. Remember I told you that line? From the Magid Meisharim? From the Beis Yosef and the Magid Meisharim? When the Malach told him, I am, right? Malach said, my whole mahus are the Mishnayis that you spoke. It's not that there's a Malach that, right? It's not that there's a person who's speaking Torah. But the person becomes Torah. The person becomes a walking, living, breathing, Sefer Torah. So the goal is that a person tries to reinsert himself back into that world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu before he separated himself. Not to be, again, strongly connected to Hashem, but to be a separate entity. But to mamish be completely bottled to Hashem, one with Hashem. And Torah is the way that we do that. Okay? That there should be no mitzias ha'adam. Remember we spoke about Mokhan and Midos. We spoke about the intellectual attributes, right? Where there's a sense of ayin, there's a sense of complete bittul. And then there's the Midos, then there's the emotions as they express themselves in our quote-unquote real world. As we feel things. Our experience. Phenomenology. How I feel it. What my experience tells me, as opposed to the higher reality, the thing as it is, right? This is how I feel, but this is the mitzias of how it is. Not just my reality, not my mitzias, right? But the true objective reality, as opposed to my subjective experience. Okay? Yes.
Kind of what I'm giving example about something that I can get
Yeah, let's hear. Oh. Yeah, again, it's the objective reality versus the subjective reality.
Like, how could you say, in theory, anything's objective reality?
What does that mean?
Like,
we don't know objective reality.
Exactly. So
correct.
We have the state of mind.
That's Amuna. That's the punchline. That's the punchline why Immanuel Kant was a good man. That's the punchline. The punchline is because Immanuel Kant basically said, Amuna. We can't know any objective reality, absolutely. There's no way, the mind is not to be trusted. And therefore, we only know our experience. But he wasn't rejecting God by saying that. He was saying that, again, we only know our experience, but there absolutely is an objective reality. And that's where Amuna comes in. That's where Amuna comes in. That's where you throw yourself back into the Ayin. You just jump into the hands of Hashem.
So how could a normal functioning being in this world ever really get to the state of Ayin? You can't.
I don't know.
Like,
what's the pasuk say?
Me'ayin
yavo Ezri. Me'ayin yavo Ezri. My salvation comes from Ayin. My salvation comes from Ayin. I have to dive into Hashem that I should be able to understand Ayin. But Lima Torah is how we get to Ayin. When a Jew studies Torah, he knows that Hashem exists. He's learning about an ox that gores a cow, but he knows 100% that Hashem exists. Yeah? What does the pasuk say? Chachma, what does it say? Chachma me'ayin timtza or something like that? There's such a lashon in the pasuk? Right? That chachma comes from ayin, which means that when I study the chachmas of Torah, I'm tasting ayin. I'm getting a taste of ayin. Which is why you can learn in Torah, you can learn any area of Torah, and it deepens your emunah. Now we might think, again, through our subjective experience, I might say, no, when I study certain types of Torah, I feel connected to Hashem. More so than when I study Kinyan Chalipin in Kedushin, Gimel Amid Aleph, and Gimel Amid Beis. Sneak peek of today's shiur. Right, so you might say, I get more out of learning a piece of Likutei Maran than I learn about Machlokas Rashi and Tosos about Kinyan Chalipin. That's because you're being emotional about it. If you were being truly honest with the emes of Torah, there wouldn't be that distinction. Just Rabbi Nachman is speaking more to the emotion, so in a certain way, so you're feeling like I can taste Hashem more through that than I can through a machlokas about Kinyan Chalipin. But it's not true. It all emanates from Ayin, and the more I immerse myself in the Chachmas Torah, I'm a vatal my will to His will, to His supernal will, and I jump into the Ayin. I jump into that, you know, to that world of Ayin. Okay? Now, let me tell you what the main point he's going to address in Perek Tes. Go back to the end of Perek Tes for a second. And look at that line he quoted from the Zohar Kadosh in the Raya Mehemna Parshas Naso. About five lines up before it says Perek Tes. Did Tshuva Ila hi dis asik ba'oraisa b'dechilu urechimu dekutcha brichu. What he's going to explain today is that Tshuva Ila, right, that sense of self-negation, complete bittul, ayin, comes from study of Torah. Now look at the next three words, very, very critical. B'dechilu urechimu dekutcha brichu. First let's translate the words, and then we'll try to begin to explain what he's saying. What's dechilu? Dechilu urechimu? Fear and love, right? Dachil is a lashon of yira. Rechimu is the lashon of Ava. So I have to try when I study Torah, if I want to get the full Torah experience, okay, this is not an easy parak, so pay attention here. If I want to get the full Torah experience, if I want to experience tshuva ilah, if I want to truly come back fully, fully, fully to Hashem, to attach myself, b'yichud nifla, to be one with Hashem, to be able to believe in the highest levels of tshuva, of complete returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Not where I am deeply connected to Him. Again, not where I recognize that the drop of water that I am comes from an ocean called God. But to mamash, put the drop back into the ocean, to throw it back into the ocean, where it can't be identified as an independent being anymore. The way I do that is through what? Through studying Torah with the fear and love, dikut shabrichu. What does that mean, dikut shabrichu? That's the key. That word, dikut shabrichu, is the hint that gives away the whole secret to Perek Tes. Is it saying that I should fear and love God? I should learn Torah with fear and love of God? Well, how else can you translate it? B'dechilu urechimu dikut shabichu. What's the difference between my love and fear versus God's love and fear? Does God have love and fear? Does Hashem have dechilu urechimu? I know what my dechilu urechimu feels like. Right? I know what very low level dechilu urechimu feels like. I know what my fear of a wild animal is like. I know what my love for a slice of pizza is like. Okay, that's very, very low. Olam hazeh, subjective human experience, right? My own physical experience, which I perceive, which I would call, oh, I'm scared of a wild dog that's going to attack me, that's going to bite me, right? And I love the taste of vanilla ice cream. Okay? A higher level fear, right, would be a fear of doing an Aveira, right? And love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's still not what he's talking about. Because that's my subjective experience of fearing Hashem and loving Hashem. What is Hashem's love and Hashem's fear? That's what he's saying here. B'dechilu rechimu dikut shebrichu. What is that? That's even higher. What does that mean? Okay? So let's look at Perek Tes. Let's see if we can do this. Bir HaInyan. Like it says in the Zohar Kadosh and the Tikkuni Zohar Bekama Mekomos. Debina Ihi Tshuva Ila. We explained last time that again the final Hay of Hashem's name is what we call lower level Tshuva. The sphere of Malchus. The first Hay of Hashem's name, Yud Hay Vav Hay, the first Hay of Hashem's name is Bina. Bina. That's Tshuva Ilah. Now, if you remember also from last time, he quoted, right, look, go back to where we were a second ago, and end the Paraches. He said that Bina is Ben Yud Hay. Di'ihu Ben Yud Hay, Bina. To tell you the main question of Perek Tes in one sentence, if you want to write it down, it's the following. The question is as follows. If Bina is the letter Hay, and dechilu urechimu, and fear and love of God, are emotions which are expressed by the letter Vav. If we don't remember the order of the spheros, we're going to get confused here. Not going to understand the question. So let's just review for a second. Okay? In the ten spheros, as it corresponds to Hashem's name, Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey. So the highest of the spheros we call Keser. Right? That crown is embodied by what? By the point on top of the Yud. The little point on top of the Yud. Okay, that's Keser. Yud itself is Chachma. The first Hay of Hashem's name, Bina. That's Tshuva Ilah, that's high-level Tshuva. The first Hay of Hashem's name, representing high-level Tshuva, is the sphere of Bina. What's Vav? Vav are the next six. Right? Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes. Netzach, Hod, Yesod. The Vav of Hashem's name is, again, Chesed Gvura Tiferes, Netzach Hod Yesod. And then the final Hay of Hashem's name, which is lower level Tshuva, is Malchus. Okay? So which of the spheros represent, of the ten that we just listed, which ones represent Dechilu Urechimu? Love and fear. Which ones, in particular, within the Vav? Chesed and Gvura. Right? Chesed and Gvura. Chesed is love, let's say, and Gvura is Yira. Okay? So the Baal HaTanya's question is the following. Here's his question, in one sentence. How is it possible to say that Tshuva Ilah is represented by studying Torah? Right, that Hay, the first Hay of Hashem's name, Tshuva Ilah is achieved by studying Torah. If you tell me that, what? Look what he says, that the study of Torah has to be b'dechilu urechimu, with love and fear, but love and fear is Vav. How can you tell me that the goal of Tshuva Ilah, the letter Hay, the higher level Hay, is dependent on feelings, love and fear, which are expressed in the lower spheros, as hinted to in the letter Vav of Hashem's name. That's his question. Okay? Sure. His question is, we've been trying to figure out how to get to tshuva ilah, high level tshuva, which is embodied by the letter He. Completely attaching oneself to Hashem. And we explained last week that completely attaching oneself to Hashem takes place here, in the mochin, in the seichel, in chachma, in bina. But now you're telling me that the Torah study that I need to study in order to have, the Torah study that I need to have to achieve high level tshuva requires two emotions. It requires what? Fear and love. B'dechilu u'rechimu. Fear and love, wait a minute. That's already the world of my subjective reality. That's the world where I exist. That's the world of Yesh. In other words, to say it again, and to say it a little differently, how could it be that Tshuva Ilah, that letter He of Hashem's name, is dependent upon the letter Vav? You're mixing the domains. You're telling me you're trying to get the high level Tshuva. And high level tshuva means total negation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way that I negate myself entirely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is learning Torah. So far, good. But then you tell me, but the way that I learn Torah has to be with what? With the emotions of fear and love. Hold on a second. Emotions, that's already not completely attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's his question. How can you tell me the only way to achieve Bina, high level tshuva, through studying Torah, complete negation to Hashem, is dependent on my feelings? That's the question. How can the hay be dependent upon the letter Vav? Okay? So with that Hagdama, let's read inside. So he says, Ubir Ha'inyan. That's the question that I think he's answering. Ubir Ha'inyan. As it says in the Zohar and the Tikkun and Bekam Makomus, Debina Ihi Tshuva Ilah. Bina, the letter hay, high level tshuva, studying Torah, That's the world of tshuva ilah. V'ha'im rovetes al ha'efrochim. Now again, every time we talk like this, it's all mashalim, so we have to be careful. Nothing is meant to be understood literally. But when I talk about the spheros, and I assign them to different character traits, or different characteristics, or different characters, chachma is Abba, and Bina is Ima. The Yud is the father, so to speak, whatever that means. And the Hey, the first Hey of Hashem's name, is the mother. Now picture the mother bird. Picture the mother bird. The mother bird is very focused on what? On protecting her young. The mother bird is resting on the nest. Right? This, by the way, will shed tremendous light, which we're not going to explain now, but if you chop this point, you can start to think in a very deep way about what the pnimius of the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein is. When you send away the mother bird and you take the Efrochim, I have to share this experience with you, because I don't want you to, God forbid, ever become this way. But someone said to me the other day, they were listening to a shir by someone, and they said, the person in the shir was talking about Shiluach HaKein and Bina and Tshuva, and it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Like, Mehechi Tesi, that's like Shiluach HaKein has to do with Bina and Tshuva, and, right? So I said, what do you mean it doesn't make sense? He's like, it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. I was like, no. You can't talk like that. What do you mean it doesn't make sense? There's a whole world called Kisvei Arizal that you have no shaykhs to. There's a whole world of Pnimius HaTorah that you have no shaykhs to. So what you're saying is, what you're really asking me is, you're saying, I'm learning new concepts, I don't know what they mean, right? And I'm surprised that none of my Rebbeim ever taught me this before. So it's easier for me to reject this and say this is outside the tradition of Torah because I never heard it before, right? Than to say that there's a lot of things that I don't know. So I told him, you need to learn to say there's a lot of things you don't know. Right now, when you're first getting the puzzle pieces, it doesn't make sense to you. Right? But if the Arizal is telling you that, and he's the expert in it, that means you need to study more. And I can point you towards different sfarim that can help you, can get started. So I told him, he has to listen to Shmuel Braun's shir from last year when he came to visit us. I said, you have to see how Hasidus fits in. What you're basically asking, you're saying, why should I believe their reason? So I'll say back to you, why should I believe Rashi? Why should I believe Tosfos? Why should I believe anything? Right? So it's a new idea. Happens to be, I met the guy a few days later in the supermarket, and he told me, he said, I didn't listen to the shiur that you asked me to listen to, but I finished listening to that shiur that I was like getting all bent out of shape over. And he said, that makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. Okay, shkaya. Makes perfect sense. This, we have to be very careful. Not to, when you hear a new idea, there's an atiyah, a human tendency, it's sort of a defense mechanism, to just shut our brains off and say, whoa, I don't know what he's talking about. Abba, Ima, Chachma, Bina. Okay? We're not learning this to just study Kabbalah for the sake of... We're trying to be better Jews. So we're trying to understand that when I study Torah, how do I study Torah in the best possible way? And by the way, that's going to be the answer to the question we raised in the fourth parak, that a person who's motzi zera levatala, how can he do tshuva? So any person who's ever been nichshol in that pagam needs to understand sort of how this works. Okay? And that's going to be... he's going to tell us that at the end of the ninth parak. So again, let's see. So he says, the aim is rovetes ala efrochen. The mother bird is hovering, is rovetes, she's hovering over the efrochen, over the chicks. She's watching over her young. What's the pshat? What's the pshat that the aim is rovetes ala efrochen? That the mother bird, that the ima, that the bina, that this hay that represents tshuva ilah, the first hay of Hashem's name, is what is hovering over that which comes beneath her. You already see starting to establish a connection between what? Between hay and vav. What's rovetis? What does the word rovetis mean? When it says the mother bird is rovetis. Right? Rovetis is a very beautiful word. Because rovetis means that she's not attached to her young. It doesn't even necessarily mean that what? That she's sitting right on top of her young. That she's even making contact with them. But she's somehow hovering, right? She's watching over them in a way that's establishing a link between the two of them. Now, let's read on. Dehainu, shal yedei shemizbonein begedulas Hashem, ba'amakas hadas, umolid miruach binaso, dalid veresh sichliyim. What does dalid veresh stand for? Dechilu urechimu, fear and love. So let's read the words again. Dehainu, again, third line of Perek Tes. Shal yedei shemizbonein begedulas Hashem, ba'amakas hadas. When a person meditates deeply on Hashem, I'm in the world of the intellect. I'm in the world of Torah. I'm in the world of Ayin. I'm trying to reconnect myself fully to Hashem. Excuse me, to that higher objective reality. Right? And now look, it's molid, umolid me ruach binaso, that bina, that the mother bird, so to speak, is molid me ruach binaso dechilu urechimu sichliyim. What does that mean? Dechilu urechimu sichliyim. Intellectual love and fear. You see the difference? That's not the love and fear that takes place in the emotional world. We're talking about a higher level of love and fear. That's why I told you, if you look at the words in the Zohar, it's bidechilu urechimu dekut shebrichu. It's a love and a fear that exists even in that higher world. It's not the love and fear that we feel in our emotional world. Right, which again comes in many forms. Everything from loving a slice of pizza, to loving my children, to loving my wife, to loving Hashem. But that could all still be within the world of me, where I exist. Now we're talking about within that world of Bina, within the world of the mother bird, right? And yet she's hovering over that which comes below. That if I deeply, deeply, deeply meditate upon Hashem, Bina, that I immerse my mind in Torah, right? It creates what? A dechilu urechimu sichlim, an intellectual fear and love. Uvetuv tam v'das, that is established in a mindful type of way. Ke'inyan shenamar, take a look. La'avas Hashem elokecha, mamish this week's parsha. To love Hashem, mishum, ki hu chayecha. To love Hashem because He is your life. Ki hu chayecha. That's not saying that my life is dependent upon Hashem. That's saying I'm one with Hashem. Hashem is my life. Right? There is no independent me. That's the higher level of love or fear that one can have when they study Torah. That's the answer to his question. How can you tell me tshuva ilah, right, which is the world of hay, is dependent on love and fear, which is the world of vav? The answer is no. We're not talking about the love and fear from the world of vav. We're introducing a concept of a love and a fear that's on a higher level, an intellectual love and fear. V'lo dai lo ba'ava tivis hamisuteres levad. We're not talking about the concealed love within what? Within man. The emotional love that we're trying to work on. We're not talking about our subjective experience in this world where we think that the whole goal is to stop loving peace and to start loving Hashem. That's still within the world where I exist. That's still me loving Hashem. V'chein b'yira, u'pachad, u'busha, kenota. We're not talking about, again, the fear or the shame or the embarrassment or the trepidation that a person feels, again, within his subjective experience. We're talking about what? We're talking about a love and a fear that can exist even within those higher realms. Okay? Now I know it sounds a little bit abstract, but let's keep reading. When a person kisses another person, right? I'm talking about a physical kiss. When a person kisses another person, he's about to quote the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, the first parak. Yishakeni minashikos piu. Yeah, when two lips kiss, and a breath, so to speak, is being shared between them, right? That is davkus rucha berucha. And the two spirits are attached. The breath, right? The spirit of life, the breath of their lips is being shared between these two people. So he says that type of ava, now we have to be careful, because if you've learned the first section of Tanya, you might get a little confused here. Because the way he uses this phrase of Istavchus Rucha Berucha in the first section of Tanya is a little different than he's using it here. Okay, again, let's read the words. V'ine. Ikar ha'ava, the essence of Ava, the highest, most essential Ava, is Istavchus Rucha Berucha, like it says, Yishakeni Minashikos Piyu Kenoda. Like two lips that are linked in a single breath. Now again, I can understand Istavchus Rucha Berucha as a very deep attachment of two people, or I could view it as its mamish becomes one breath. So he's using it here, it becomes one breath. Right? You hear what I'm saying? When two people are kissing, you could say that that each one is taking his essence, his breath of life, and attaching it to the other person. So again, that's like the lower level tshuva, where I'm deeply attached to Hashem, but there's still I and you. There's still Hashem and there's still me. But then there's the higher level ava, and that's what he's talking about here. He's saying, even within the world of Bina, even in the world of Ayin, even in the world where there is no independent you, I'm able to what? To experience a love. A love that expresses itself with this Dabchas Rucha Berucha, where I become mamish, one with Hashem. And that breath that's being shared between us is really, it's one breath. It's one entity. It's not two people sharing their innermost life force. It's mamish, one source of life. Again, that's why I think he quotes the pasuk, La'avas Hashem Elokecha, ki hu chayecha. Not that your life is dependent upon Hashem. That would mean there's Him and you. That He is your life. There's only one thing. Ein od mavado. It's only God. Ayin, bittul. Nothing other. There is no subjective experience. You don't exist. Right? Hashem's the only thing that exists. You exist within Him. Okay? Let's keep reading. V'alzeh ne'amar, I told you, it's a tough parak. V'alzeh ne'amar uvechol nafshecha. Sheheim heim kol chelkei ha'nefesh. What does it mean to serve Hashem with all of your soul? That all of the dimensions of the soul, seichel, umidos, whether it's the intellectual aspects of one's being, or it's the emotional aspects of one's being, or whether it's the way that the mind and the emotions express themselves through the levushayim, through the garments of machshava, dibur, and maisa, through thought, through speech, through action. The goal of a Jew who's fully, fully, fully connected to Hashem is ledavka kulan bo yisparch, to be completely attached to Hashem. Not to be someone who exists independent and loves God. That's a very high level. Not to be someone who exists independent and fears God. That's also a very high level. Much higher level than loving ice cream and fearing the government. Right? To love Hashem and to fear Hashem. If I think that I exist, if I perceive Moshe Tzvi Weinberg as being a real entity, and I can reach the Madrega of loving and fearing God, who's somewhere out there, so to speak, that's Gavaldic. But there's a much higher level. The higher level where a person is completely dovok in Hashem, right? And my love of Hashem is not independent from Hashem. And my fear of Hashem is not independent from Hashem. Let's keep reading. V'aseicha b'sichla. Where my seichel is attached to Hashem's seichel, and my chachma is attached to Hashem's chachma, namely the Torah. My machshava, being every dimension, every bit of my being, is entirely enveloped by that idea as it exists in Hashem. V'adibur b'dvar Hashem zo halacha. My dibur is his dibur. Right? K'vashakosav asim dvarai b'ficha. U'dvarai asher samti b'ficha. Psukim in Yeshaya. V'amaisa hu maisa tztaka. And my action is the action that he desires. Exactly, it's the thing that Hashem does. That I become him. Right? Or I realize that Einod Movado, I am him. Yeah? This, by the way, when Rabbi David Aaron came, I think 2 years ago. Was that 2 years ago? And he gave a morning schmooze in the room next door. And he said such a wild idea from Rav Kook, but it makes so much sense. When Adam and Chava desired, and by the way, with this, as I've gotten a little bit older and a little more mature and I've studied a little more, I realize, and I've heard this many times from one of my rabbis, Rabbi Shmuel Bron Shlita, he says this, that we don't strengthen our Yiddishkeit by saying other religions are stupid. Right? Now you might think other religions are stupid, and there might be aspects of other religions that you think are very stupid. Right? But to assume that everyone, and again, the masses might not know anything, but to assume that everyone in every other religion is really like, they know the emes is Torah, but they just do it for the power. Like that's like a very immature way to assume that there probably are people like that. But there are people who really believe in other religions. Okay, now I'm not suggesting that we should spend our lives, there's too much Torah to learn to spend their lives studying other religions. I'm not suggesting that that's something that we should all pursue. Right? But sometimes you can actually learn why Torah, you have a deeper appreciation for Kodesh Baruch Hu and His Torah if you understand some of the mistakes of other religions. And you start to say, wow, I kind of get that mistake. It's not as crazy. It's not as crazy as, you know, as it seems from the outside. So here's what Rabbi Aaron said. When Adam and Chava ate from the tree because they wanted to be God. Right? So what does that mean? And why do we still want to be God? When a person tries to take complete control of his own life, to be able to say, I can, you know, the false perception that we sometimes make choices on based on this thought that I'm going to live forever. You realize that that's really off, and it's also really not that off. Right? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a part of Himself and put it inside of you. So it makes a lot of sense that I sometimes feel that I can be God. Right? That Adam and Chava said, we're going to eat from this tree and we're going to be God. Because there is a feeling within man. There is a feeling that every Jew carries inside of him, that he should feel that I am godly. And that Einod Movado includes me. Right? And if I'm a drop from that ocean called God, that means I'm also God. I'm also God. Now, you understand why you have to be very careful as we start to... So what was the fault of Christianity? See, the difference between Christianity and Judaism, there are many, obviously. But one of them is that they believe that divine spark was given only to Yashka. That he was the human embodiment of God. You know what we believe? We don't believe that's wrong. We believe that it's so much more than that. We're all that. That every Jew carries a chelek alokam yimal mamish inside of him. Right? So that feeling that we sometimes have of feeling like, you know, like I don't need God, that rejection of God, right, because I am God. Right? Even though we don't necessarily say it that way when we make certain choices, but if we stop and think about it, why am I making certain choices in my life? Ki'ilu, I'm in charge of my entire existence. It's because there's a part inside of me that is telling me that, rightfully so. There's a chelek alokam yimal. There's a divine spark inside of a person that's leading him to believe that. So therefore, the goal is not to be a Jew who thinks about Torah because Hashem thinks about Torah. Right? The goal is to be thinking about Torah exactly in the way that Hashem is thinking Torah. Not to do tzedakah because God does tzedakah. Right? But to literally be a hemshich of Hashem tzedakah. That's what he says here. Ha-maisuhu maisa tzedakah la-chayos ruach shefalim. That when you give tzedakah to help those who are destitute, then you're mamish doing exactly what Hashem did when the pasuk says ki sheishes yamim asa Hashem, turn the page, kanodo makom acher. When Hashem decided to create the world, was mitzamtim himself and created the world, when Hashem lowered himself to create this world, right? When you give tzedakah, when you help out a person who's on a lower level than you, who's going through a tough time, you lower yourself to that person, you're doing what Hashem did. But that's the mistake. It's not that you're doing, the higher level is not that you're doing what Hashem also does. That you who exist are doing what God also does. No. That you're being one with Hashem. Establish rucha berucha, the higher level, where there is no me. It's not me giving tzedakah because God gives tzedakah. Right? It's just God giving tzedakah. That I become Hashem giving tzedakah. That there's no sense of pride, there's no sense of independent existence. V'zohi establishes derucha berucha b'tachlis hadveikus v'ayichud k'shehi machmas ava v'chulu. And that is what is expressed again when a Jew comes to the higher level of establishes rucha berucha. Again, it's deeper than a kiss. When two people kiss and they're sharing a breath, but it's still two people. The higher level is what? Where mamish, it's just one. It's mamish all one. Where the drop of water goes back into the ocean. Right? It's totally bottled to the ocean. Okay? So now he comes to answer the question from the fourth parak. Give me a second because Rav Weinberger is going to be here any minute. Ulefisha pegama bris botza zera levatala. So now, however, let's understand. Why is it that the Zohar says you can't do tshuva when a person is motzi zera levatala, when a person weighs seed, and yet the Sfar HaKadoshim say, but you could do tshuva ilah. Higher level tshuva can fix it. Why? Look what he says. A person who's involved in arayus, right? Hotzah zera levatala. The ain tzarech lomer but arayus. All the more so if a person doesn't just waste seed, but a person is involved in illicit sexual relations. Oshari surei bia, whether it's darayus or darabanan. And don't say it's just darabanan. He says, because he writes a parenthesis, ki chamurim divrei sofrim. Because we know in many respects, violating the rabbi is even worse. Because it really undermines the system. And the same God who tells you to listen to him, says in Parsha Shoftim, listen to them. Okay. So when a person does any type of avera that involves this area of sin, he's pogim b'moach. Where does the avera start from? If you've learned the beginning of Tanya, you know what he's saying here. It's pogim b'malach. It damages what? It starts in the mind. What does that mean, it starts in the mind? It means that before a person does an act of arayos, right, there has to be an arousal. And that arousal comes from the mind. He even writes in the first section of the Tanya, he says that the zera itself comes from the mind. Now he doesn't mean that physically, because it's not true. Right? It doesn't mean that the semen is being formed, you know, in one's mind and then travels down to the lower organs. That's not true. But if you look at Rabbi Steinsaltz's commentary on Tanya, he says what is scientifically true, right, that there will be a certain chemical release in the mind which will trigger the body to produce the zera. So in a very scientific sense, the mind is what creates the possibility of the zera existing, which will hopefully be used to fulfill the first mitzvah of the Torah, pruravu, and God forbid will be used to undermine kol haTorah kula by wasting that seed. So the pagam really stems from the moach. It stems from the world of chokhma, bina, and das. It stems from the world of the seichel. So therefore, how do I fix this world? How do I fix the world that's above this world, that's beyond this world? Right? What's amazing is a person thinks, I'm doing such a low sin, I'm giving it to my emotions, I'm giving it to my guf. And yet the way to fix the sin is not in the realm of the emotions, it's not in the realm of the guf. The way to fix this pagam, which emanates, which starts in the mind, l'chein tikunohu dis asik b'araisa d'michoch manafcha. The way to fix this avera is not just to treat the symptoms, right, but to figure out what the source of the illness is. And the source of the illness is that my mind is not wrapped up in Torah. What's the famous Lashon of the Rambam? What does the Rambam write at the end of Hilchos Yisurei Bia? The Rambam says, a person will not come to do arayos, if what? Unless he's batal from Torah. But a person who's filled with Torah is not going to be interested in these things. He's not going to allow himself to involve himself in arayos. And therefore, the way that we fix this is what? Is dafka going back all the way to the shorish, chachma nafka. V'zeh she'omer b'tana d'be'el yo. Rabbi, we have 30 more seconds? Just
30 more hours.
And this is what it says in Tana d'be'el yo. Adam of Aveira of Nischaya, Misa, Lamako, Mayasa, Viechia. A person did an Aveira, and now he wants to do tshuva. So what's his tshuva? Look at this beautiful prescription for a Jew who wants to do tshuva. In my Iragu Likros Daf Echad, if you normally learn one page, or one word, you say one kapitel tehillim, Yikra Beis Dafim, so do two. Lishnos Perak Echad, you learn a Perak of Mishnayis, Yishna Beis Prakim, do a little more, do two. Behind Kamashal Chevel Hanifsak Vachoza Vakostro, Shibamakum Hakesher, who kafalu mechupa. Like we've been describing the Yaakov Chevel Nachalasa, when that rope snaps, when the strands have been broken, what you have to do is you have to reconnect the rope, you have to tie the rope. And the spot where you're tying the rope or you're reattaching the rope, the knot is that much stronger. Right? So here you have a person who seemingly was nichshol in such a way that he cut the rope. But now he has the opportunity to reconnect the rope to its shorish. And again, this is what Tshuva Yilah is doing. V'hainu, k'mashal chevel hanifsak. That you tie it again and it reattaches itself twice as strong. V'kachahu b'chevel nachala. So, okay, chevel, we'll stop here. There's two lines left, but I don't want to rush through it. So, we'll stop here. Mitzvah, we'll pick up tomorrow.